Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, ladies. You are on. Good morning, ladies.
Well, good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you? And good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, audience. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Absolutely.
I'll be listening to you guys. Y'all have a blessed day.
Okay, thank you.
If I want to talk, I will click you over, okay? Look at your phone.
Thank you. Okay, thank you so much.
Blessings.
All right, we thank you. We appreciate you. And thank you for entrusting us with your baby. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's our baby now. We're raising it together.
All right, sounds good. That's, amen.
Right.
That sounds real good. Thank you.
Right. Love you guys.
All right, thank you. And good morning, audience. My name is Cynthia Oliver. I am co-host of the Mother and Daughter Blog Talk Radio. This morning, Deborah, Tyler, and myself, I'm going to let her introduce herself as she do after she did the prayer. But thank you for joining us, and we're going to have a great conversation. Our topic today is a caring mother and daughter relationship. What does that look like? And Deborah, if you would, go ahead and give us the prayer before we get started, please.
I sure would. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We just say thank you. We say thank you for waking us up, Father, on our way. We ask that you would give us what we need today to go forth in your world, in your way, in your will, Lord. We trust that you will use us according to what you already predestined to happen. We thank you for this day. We ask that you would bless the hearers that they will not hear, they will be listening intensively, hearing the word of the Lord. We ask that you would guide them, strengthen them, that you would encourage them, that you would bless them, that you would heal and deliver them. That everybody that's listening on the sound of our voice, Lord, will be blessed just because they thought of not robbery to sign in, to tune in this morning, to listen to a word from a bunch of women that just love the Lord. We thank you for doing what you do. We ask right now that you will bless and you will use us, Lord, and you will help us be what you call us to be, that you will give Dr. Fletcher traveling mercies, that you will be with her wherever she's at, that she will continue to do your will and in your way for allowing us again this day to see this Saturday morning. In this world, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer, Deborah. Thank you, audience, again, for joining us. You know, when I think about mothers and daughters, Deborah, I think about how awesome our leader, Dr. Fletcher, and her daughter relationship is. I see that relationship, and it is just definitely something that you desire as a daughter. When you see that type of relationship. And so this morning we're going to talk about healthy mothers and daughters relationship and what that looks like. I know that you come from that type of relationship yourself. And so we're going to let you get started with talking about, share your experience about your relationship and how that looks for you and your mother, because everybody relationship is different. We're not going to compare relationship audience. So don't be dismayed. We're not going to compare relationships, but we're going to talk about some healthy tips and how a healthy relationship is supposed to look versus when you have not experienced that. And it can cause us to somehow envy sometimes other mothers and daughter relationships. But guess what? You can be healed from broken relationships, even if it's not what you think it should be. It is what it is and it is what it was, but guess what? You can start from today to change your mindset about your mother-daughter relationship. You don't have to hold on to the pains of the past of broken relationships or abandonment issues. You can be healed because you're talking to somebody who was healed because of abandonment issues. And it's all good. It's okay because God can use the brokenness to help somebody else and to know that you don't have to continue to be wounded where you were wounded as a child into your adulthood. And so, Deborah, I'm going to let you start off by just sharing a little bit about your experience with your mother and daughter relationship. But I'm going to just a little intro, and then you can jump in there. What extreme relationships are and what healthy relationships are. And I'm gleaming from an article from Psychology Today, and the article simply states that while intimacy and close connections are definitely a desired outcome of motherhood, normal, healthy boundaries still needs to be honored, and over-involvement can have a negative impact on our relationships. Our identifications with our daughters can quickly veer from being a healthy relationship to ending up being codependence and enmeshment, which results can be happen as an adult daughter tries to fit in and wants to be part of her mother's in a circle. And as a result, when we cross these lines, we have difficulty living independent lives. Goes from being a healthy relationship, what it was intended to be, to being an overly involved relationship where people don't know how to respect boundaries. And so we want to give you some tips that if you have this type of relationship with your daughter's mother, you need to reevaluate, and daughters, you need to reevaluate so you can live your own independent life of your mother. Yes, you want to be involved and engaged in your mother's relationship, but there also has to be boundaries. Please just get that word boundaries, if nothing else today. And what does boundary look like? We're going to talk about that today. Okay, Deborah, go ahead.
Okay.
Share your experience, if you would.
Okay. Good morning, audience. I thank you for coming in and tuning in today, listening to me and Cynthia just share some stuff with you. I don't profess to be an expert. I just tell you what my experience is and hoping that something that I say might help you, because I'm still searching for better ways to tweak this relationship, to enhance this relationship, to excel in the area of relationship, because it ain't always been a situation where I was in where I had to do it. And so just a little bit about me. I'm Deborah. I'm the first daughter of five kids, the oldest of the girls, and I had, mysteriously started experimenting with things at an early age. So I decided that, okay, I'm going to just go on out there, run away from home. It wasn't no issues at home. It was just some issues in me. And as I was searching me, I thought that it was better on the other side of the grass. And I left home early and broke my mama's heart. So 20 years later, after going to prison and being incarcerated for a very, very, very long time, came back now to this woman that I call mom. And so mom was there to receive me as a grown person. So now here you go. You got two grown people in the house. You got some pain. Some heavy, heavy residue of pain from all the things that happened over the years with the daughter. And so now you come back and you want to try to have a relationship. So it wasn't really, really easy, but it wasn't that complicated. It was just, hey, get in and learn basically when you meet somebody, how you doing, what you like, what's your hobby, you know, what your weaknesses, what's your strength. And so I was just laying a few things out there. I'll touch on that a little later. But my relationship with my mom only started more so as an adult. So now I'm grown, I'm 30-something, and mom is whatever age she is, and I'm trying to learn how to understand and to have a relationship with a mother that's still sensitive from my past. And so it started out with me being saved, and so it was spiritual relationship. So the Lord was in the equation, and the Lord was the one that was holding it together. But there's another side of relationship in the natural that ain't spiritual that I had to learn how to have. You know, how you wake up in the morning and you ain't prayed up and you're in the same house and how you deal with just dealing with emotions and dealing with life as life throw curves and straight balls and strikeouts and how you deal with that and just keep coming back to bat. Keep coming back to the back, keep coming back to the base. And so it was a process, but what happened was I just kept saying, God, help me, because I don't know how to have a relationship. I left at 13. I don't know how. And I lived in a world where relationships was like, hey, you got me, I got you. You got me. What can you do for me? So it's a different kind of relationship. So I just began to, you know, read God's word and ask God to help me. I said, Lord, teach me how to live. Yes, I had the respect for my mother. Yes, I care for my mother. Yes, I love my mother. But how do you have a relationship? And so I had to learn things. I had to learn, you know, there's a time to speak. There's a time to listen. I had to learn that there's a give and there's a take, because where I came from, it was just take, take, take. You know, I had to learn some things, you know, to agree to disagree. That we wasn't going to always see eye to eye. Don't mean that I love her less or she love me less. But it's just that I was trying to learn that, okay, mama don't like this, him, this, him, this, this, he disagreed with this, and, you know, it's okay to disagree. And so I had to learn those things. I had to learn my tone, and I had to learn to talk and say what you mean. Mean what you say, you just don't say it mean. You know, I had to learn respect was always there and boundaries was always there. So those things I had already had brought to the table, but I had to learn, okay, say what you mean. You know, I never got loud, but there's still a way that you can say stuff in a certain tone that sets the relationship either on the right path or already going down the wrong road. And so I had to learn those things, and I had to learn what she liked. I had to learn if she was a morning person. I had to learn if she didn't like dishes left in the sink overnight, which I should have knew that from 13 because she didn't play that. But I had to learn all that stuff over. I had to learn, you know, her strengths and her personal weaknesses and my strengths and my personal weakness. I call it a SWOT analysis, you know, what we strong and what we weak in, and what's the threat, what's outside, what's trying to interfere with the bond, what's trying to interfere with the connection, what's trying to interfere with the relationship. And I had to learn opportunity to capitalize on, you know, what it is that I should be doing not to enhance the relationship. You know, you're talking a few years later, you know, you're still trying to find ways to tweak it because it ain't perfect. But what I understand is that we all in our individual personalities have traits that might not always be up to par. We always got something that can be worked on, and we all got some problems, we all got some sin. And so I can't be looking and saying, let me fix this thing with you, when I got a big boulder in my eye and I'm trying to fix the speck in yours. So I had to just say, Lord, okay, I'm not looking at, oh, mom ain't doing this right. Oh, I thought mom this, and I thought, no, I jumped, but what part you play? How could you bring more to the table? How could you change some things? You know, a relationship, I believe, is compromising and meeting in the middle. Sometimes it might be 70-30 at first, or even 80-20. Truth be told, it might be 90-10. And so I've learned to bring the 50%. And I learned to accept if I don't get 50 back. I learned to accept that there might be a day that she's not really sociable, or might be a day that I don't want to pick up the phone. So I'm learning all these things about me as I learn about her, and I ask God to just help bring them together and continue to enhance this relationship. Is it easy all the time? No, because the past keep popping up. The things that I did before I even knew better, and thereafter keep popping up. And there's some residue still in her spirit, and she still feels a little pain, whether she admits it or not. I know that. I could tell. So I got to be sensitive to her process, because I got to understand that because I changed don't mean that she's totally healed. Her healing might not be according with my transition of change. So I got to accept the fact it's her process. Those are boundaries. I got to respect it. I got to be mindful, because I created that habit. I did all those crazy things. I did the things that broke the mama heart in a million pieces. And now that it's shattered and it's coming back together, I don't get to sit and say, get over it. You should be there by now in my mind. You know, I got to allow her process. It would take from not of glory. I got to understand that I planted it, I planted, I sowed those seeds grow, and now I got to deal with whatever the fruit is, even though I want all the fruit to be ripe and good and green and ready to eat, but no, there's some rotten apples still on the tree, and I got to deal with it because I planted that seed when I left home, when I broke a heart. I planted that seed. So I believe that in the position I'm in now, I understand more spiritual stuff with the relationship. And I just say, God, okay, if it's something I don't like, I go to Jesus. I go to the maker of the creation. I say, Lord, okay, you created her. You made her. You formed her in her mother's womb. You fashioned her. You made her in your image, God. So I'm having some problems with what you made, and I need you to go back to the man. You're like, if God need to go back and redo. No, but I just say, God, you know, but it's really me learning how to accept the things. So, no, it's not easy coming from a gap like that from 13 to where I should have been learning how to be the young lady, when I should have been home learning how to do all these things in life, prepare me for the outside. I decided to just go straight to the outside. So now after the world got through with me and beat me up and drug me back, now I come back and say, okay, mama, I believe everything you said was a good reason, and I believe that you was only telling me what's right. Now the world will whoop me up. Now can we have a relationship? So that's the type
Amen.
Of relationship that we had, you know? So like
Amen.
I say,
Amen.
You know, it's good. Just good for me.
Amen. You, Deborah, you know, you touched on a couple of points. You touched on the importance of give and take. It's part of every healthy relationship. And if you learn mothers and daughters, that is give and take, and it's not all about you, and it's not all about her, and not all about our faults of the past, but it's about the right now. What can we do right now? What can we give and take in this relationship right now? You also said that you excuse me, you had to learn to simply say yes or no. Mean what you say and say what you mean. And that is scripture, by the way. That's Matthew 5:37. We must learn to, as adult daughters, we have to learn to be adults, and we have to learn to, you know, let mother know, yes, I erred when I was a child, but now I'm an adult, and now I'm trying to make this thing right, so I don't need you to continue to bring up my past. And oftentimes we fear saying what we desire to our mothers because we want to respect her, and we don't, a lot of times we don't know the boundary, we don't have those boundaries where we can be adult daughters. We're still seen as a little girl, and so we don't often say what we need to say. One of the greatest things I ever done for my children, and I have sons, I don't have any daughters, but I gave them the freedom to say what they need to say, and that keeping that communication open. And despite the fact that you were gone, Deborah, you came home and you determined that, you know what, I have to say what I need to say to my mother. Yes, I did all of these things, but I'm back now. How can we make a better relationship? And so that's learning to actually communicate. Have a line of open communication with your mother. And what does that look like? Sometimes we're angry. Sometimes we're hurt. Sometimes our experience with our daughters and our mothers, it is so raw and it is so fresh that sometimes we speak in anger, but God tells us not to speak in anger and love and that softness, if you will, that softness of voice, that softness of love, despite you are being firm and saying what you need to say, it brings that respect into the relationship as an adult. And we have to just know, guys, that we are, there's a loud noise. Deborah, I'm not sure if it's coming on your end or it's just on the phone, but we're going to continue to speak. Audience, let us know if you can hear us okay. You know, family relationships are lifelong. We have a lifelong tie with our families and our mothers. So it's no way of getting on that. Even when your mother is transitioned on or your daughter is transitioned on, you still have those ties. And so we have to learn to not only value the time that we have with our loved ones, we have to learn to respect the time that we have, and we have to know that if we want to have these type of healthy relationships, we're going to have to learn what is healthy and what is not healthy. And what is healthy is what Deborah has simply said. My mother, I strayed, I came back, my mother was receptive, and she accepted me back into her life. And so that in itself says that that is a mother. Despite her hurt, despite her disappointment, she was determined to embrace her child when she came back home. And you never get away from your children. At some point, life does beat us up. Life does happen to us, and we often have to return back home. And that's why we can't burn bridges, because we don't know when we're going to have to return back home. And so now what I hear, Deborah, is that you and your mother have built an adult friendship, and the benefits of being in a friendship with your mother is huge. Can you share with us how you and your mother have become friends since you returned home?
Well, so it started, like I say, with God, because when I came back, I was saved. I had been saved probably 2-3 years, and so she had been saved for some years way ahead of me. And so, like I say, we started out spiritually, and we just eased into it. We just let God just do it. And as I was, communicating and being associated with her and her world, I just learned some things. I learned that sometimes mama don't like to talk, and sometimes I don't like to talk, and especially in the morning. I do put it good on the radio, but I usually don't get going about 12, and then you in trouble because I'm going to talk you ill. And so I learned those things about her, and I just began to, keep that in my mind and made a little note of it. Okay, she's not a morning person. Okay, she likes to get her rest, so don't go calling too early or too late. She loves Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, you get a good kiss or two, get a Dunkin' Donuts in her coffee, which she don't get every day. It's like a treat for her. Oh, you get that coffee right, you get a couple kisses. You know what I mean? And so I learned that, and I learned that she loves her vegetables, and so she can juice it. I just go and make her juice. And what I used to do when I was young, she used to call me on the phone from upstairs in the house. She'd ring the phone and, can you make mama some carrot juice? And I'd go in there and clean them carrots and cut them up, put them in the juice, and bring it to her, serve it to her on a platter, and call me again. Can you bring mama BC? And I was the girl. I was the one. And so I just know just little things, and so what we do now is when I go up there and visit her, I start out with the coffee, and I make her juice, and I tell her, let me see your feet. If your feet swole, I'm going to put your feet up. We're not going nowhere. And then I just pamper her just like that. And then we sit down, we watch the Word together, or I might tell her something funny, make her laugh till I think she's choking and I got to stop. I just let it flow. And so the relationship, it just takes its own course. But I just be mindful of, this's sensitive. So just avoid that, pray about it, let God work it out, because you can't change. Like I say, it comes up, because it's not like, all them years, it's just not going to, So I accept that, and I just go day to day. I just don't have no secret recipe. I just go day to day, and I just say, God, I'm going to see mom. You got it. You direct it, because I'm still learning. I don't know, and I probably never get it till I go to glory, and then I probably understand. But for the most part, I just go, whatever it is that I'm feeling, I just pray about it. If I got some anxiety going on, I just pray about it. I said, Lord, I'm going to visit mom. Give me traveling mercies. Give me a good visit. And you just orchestrate this visit, and you just give us the best day. And you just do what you do, Lord. Just let me be sensitive to your movement and your guidance. And because I don't know. And I tell you, it'll just be some days. When I come back, she'll text me, oh, I had such a beautiful morning. Oh, I just enjoyed my day. I praise God for you. Who would have thought you would have turned out to be such a loving daughter? And so, I just go with the flow. There's no recipe for me,
Amen. Yeah. But Deborah, you said you have to learn the likes and dislikes of each other in order that you can make the relationship more effective and work for both of you guys. And so I kind of snickered on the side that you both, neither one of you are morning people. And so it's funny, our motto for the organization, as the mother, so is the daughter. So that definitely applies there. That is in Ezekiel 16:44. through 46, where it talks about told everyone who quotes Proverbs or quotes this proverb concerning you, saying, like mother, like daughter. So I kind of smile when you said that you guys are, neither one of you are morning people, so you guys definitely didn't fall far from the tree. Well, I'm going to talk about our friendships and the benefits of that's being an adult daughter and mother. I don't know that side. I wasn't raised by my mother. I didn't meet my mother. It's so funny. You were running away from your mother when you were 13, and I didn't meet my mother until I was 13. And then, based on my concept of what a mother and daughter relationship was, and that's only from seeing television shows like The Brady Bunch, and you know, you watch all of these shows, and you think that you should have this type of relationship. When I met my mother at the age of 13. In my mind, I already had how this relationship was going to form. First of all, when I met her, I didn't really know who my brother actually took us to this house, this apartment in Fort Lauderdale, and I didn't know where we were going. And when this lady opened the door, I knew who she was, but I didn't know who she was because our spirit, it was just like I knew her. I didn't know her, but I did know her when she opened the door and my brother said, "This is Mom." That was real interesting. And in my mind, I kept trying to formulate and force a relationship that wasn't reciprocal. And so I grew very, very angry as a result, which I didn't even realize that I was angry of what I guess I perceive as rejection, because it only got worse. And I would be, I was in my 30s at this time when I realized that I had this anger, because it was pointed out to me by my college professor. We would have group process for two semesters. We would have group process, and every time we would be in group process, and I would hear the ladies talk about my colleagues and classmates talk about how their mother was their best friend, I would get perturbed. And literally, it came to a couple of conversations where I literally wanted to fight. And here I am in my late 30s, feeling this pain of abandonment, feeling this pain of rejection, and feeling the pain that I was angry, that I had talked myself out of being angry all these years, because I said to myself, and I think I was around 13 when I made this decision, that I was going to show my parents, my mother and my father, that I didn't need them. So I grew up telling myself that I was going to be this great person to prove to them that I didn't need them. And that was a lie, because God knows that that's why he gave the parents and a mother, because he knows that you needed that advocate in your life. And so I had literally talked myself out of the desire of wanting my mother to be in my life, because it was more painful to have the desire than not. And that's just how I cope with it, because she wasn't there. And so for me, it was just easier growing up to determine that I didn't need her. But as I became an adult and started to understand the concept of a mother and daughter relationship, I only grew angrier, and I had to deal with that. And how did I deal with that? My professor said to me one day, "If you don't go to counseling, I will not sign off for you to graduate as a psychology major, because I won't give you permission to work with hurting people when you're hurting yourself." And so God knew what he had in store for me. So I had to walk through that door of counseling in order that I can work with the population that God was calling me to work with. And it's so interesting how God will take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it into good, because I serve a population of women that 95% of the women that we work with don't have that abandonment issue, have that rejection issue of their mothers. And so God knew I had to be healed in order that I can work with this population. While we're trying to be a lot of mothers try to be their daughter's best friend when they're kids, it's more important that you understand, mothers, that you somehow, if that's your goal when they're children, if that it devalues your role as a mother. But when you become adults, you can become your daughter's best friend. I hear Dr. Fletcher say all the time that her and her daughter are best friends. And it sounds like you and your mom have made tremendous becoming friends as adults.
Amen, amen.
I love that. Go ahead. Share from that point the friendship that you guys have valued, that have been restored, if you will.
I just say that it's an honor to be able to call and share stuff and ask for advice about, you know, things that I would have probably learned in my teens had I stayed around. And so, you know, I enjoy when she tells me something. Like now she's telling me, I said to her that, you know, I think I'm starting to go bald in the top of my head. And so I said, I don't know, you know, what's going on. I've been doing some treatment. She said, she told me last night, I'm going to order you some oil from Mary Kay or something. I'm going to send it to you. You try that. And, you know, she gave me all these different tips of, you know, health, because she got it going on when it comes to facials and vitamins, and it comes to all of that. All my life, she's always been into the face and the skin and all of that. And so she's teaching. She said, you're getting older. You're going to start, your stuff's going to start happening around your eyes, and you're going to be needed. So, you know, she gives me all this information, you know, and I just be like, okay, you know, and I enjoy the relationship because, like I say, I never had it. And, you know, it's like she is my friend, not just my mother, and she's my sister in Christ too, you know. She's my medical advisor, you know. She is all those things, you know. And I thank God for you know, the relationship and the way that it's going. And, you know, back to the topic we was talking about, caring mother-daughter relationships. And so I was just expounding on the word caring. I was just sitting right there with, you know, what is caring, you know. And then Webster defines caring as displaying kindness and concern for others. Not for me, for others, you know. And I remember that time when she wrote me that text and said, who would have thought you would have turned out to be such a kind and generous and loving young lady? And in other words, I approve of who you are now. I approve of this transformation. Who would have thought? Because, you know, the prodigal son was looking pretty ugly. He hadn't got my stuff and, you know, went on. And so when she said that, that you so thoughtful, you know, and that's what caring is, you know, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, displaying kindness. And so,
amen.
I know that it's not easy, but, you know, each day it gets better. It's interesting, but it gets better, and I wouldn't change it for nothing, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, it just sounds like you and your mom has come to an impasse about the past. And so you guys are beyond that. And now you guys are building your relationship, and your mom is supportive of you as her daughter. And you guys are reaching milestones, and you guys have learned to value each other despite the damage. You guys are telling each other how you feel and how much you love each other, how much you guys appreciate each other. And that's what a relationship is designed to be like. In Proverbs says her children rise up and they bless her. You are a blessing to your mother, and she realizes that. I just love it. Some mothers and daughters automatically just they go from childhood into adulthood, and they appreciate each other, and they are best friends. But a lot of us didn't have that privilege, and a lot of us went our separate ways. And so when you are able to come back to your mother, and she's able to embrace you, or you are able to go back to your daughter despite the fact that you guys didn't have that relationship when they were children, it is such a beautiful thing. And my relationship with my mother, I only had a relationship with my mother the last 6 months of her life. And so I got to, and you know, God says in scripture that he will redeem the time. And God definitely honored that with me. He definitely redeemed the time with my mother because I was 17 months old when I was separated from my mother. And so my mother was sick in her last 6 months of her life, and I started going to see her a couple of days out of the week, and I would lay in bed with her because, you know, at age 17, you still cuddle with your mother. You still lay with your mother. And so I got there. I got to lay there with my mother and hear some of the in her heart, and I got to know the little things that she liked. She loved, I wasn't a potato chip kind of person, still not. I eat them from time to time, but I got to know that she loved vinegar and salt potato chips, and that was big for me. I still to this day, I know her birthday and little things that I know, but there is not a whole lot that I know about my mother. So when that time was redeemed, I literally started to appreciate my mother, and so I got to hear a couple of her dreams and what it is that she desired to do. And so it was real interesting just getting to know her. Everyone should have that chance to write a story about their mothers and daughters. And it shouldn't have to be forced. A lot of us, we try, like I said, when I first met her, I tried to force the relationship, and it only grew because it wasn't reciprocal. It went from bad to worse because in my mind, she was rejecting me. So I had a false expectation of what it should be in my mind, and so it went from bad to worse. And unfortunately, but fortunately, I got to God redeemed the time, and I got to spend that last 6 months with my mother, just getting to know her. And every situation is different. Everybody thinks that we should have this book that what we learn, what we see on television with our moms and whatnot, but it's not always that way. And obviously, it wasn't designed to be that way, because we wouldn't even be having this conversation on the radio if every relationship was cookie cutter. You understand? And so your relationship was definitely not a cookie cutter. You could have never imagined that you would have ended up being separated from your mom, not only from age 13, but as you became an adult, you spent another 15 years away from your mom because of your choices. You want to share a little bit about the fact that, and I know that you both were saved at this point, and I think that played a pivotal role in you guys being able to come back together. You want to share a little bit about how you were able to find that appreciation, if you would, by you, your change, because you had to start to change before the relationship changed. You want to talk about how you saw yourself change before you came back, in order that you guys can start to move into this mother-daughter friendship and relationship?
Yeah, so the change occurred when I noticed that my mom would come and visit me, and I would just look at her and I would avoid it, and I would just be like, okay, you know, playing with the kids. Always, they always had to bring a baby for me to play with. That was my highlight of the visit. And so I would just look at her, and I couldn't still see some stuff in her as far as pain and all of that, even though she's pretty and dressed up and all of that. I still seen the effect of my choices. And so as I grew older and matured more and started hearing people talk about relationships with their mothers and stuff, and then I started having a yearning for that. So before I was released from prison, I got saved 2 years, and God performed a miraculous deed by releasing me from the life sentence that I had. And I went straight to my mom. We got a house together, and I was able to live in that house, and I was able to, you know, I would go and sit on her bed, like you say, and just want to lay in the bed, and how you doing, mom, and you know, started out like that, and so it was strange at first, but I began to yearn to want to work harder to have the relationship, and I knew communication was the first part, was communicating, mm-hmm. just having a casual conversation, just talking. And so I would just the safe way was just to talk about the Lord, you know, because I know you love the Lord. You love the Lord. So the safe way was I ease into it with God. You know, I keep saying I ease into it with God because I didn't have a clue. And then as time went on and I started noticing that in my circle, even now, the last 10 years, I started noticing that everybody in my immediate circle, even on the job, and you and Dr. Fletcher, mother has passed and gone on, right? And so I say, my God, my boss, my coworker, my supervisor, the clinical, everybody on the team has lost their mother. My friend, everybody, at least 8 people, if I could just say 10 people in my close circle has lost their mother. And I say, Lord, I gotta be more in tune and more grateful because I had lost her not in the physical but in the natural for a long time based on bad choices. And now that I came to myself the last 20 whatever years, it's more so the last 10 years that I realize I'm blessed and God allowed me and her to be able to be on the same planet for a reason. And so now I try to maximize my opportunities and go and spend time and you know, and I'm going to say this before I forget. The last visit was 2 weeks ago, and I texted. I said, oh, I forgot to tell you. It was a short visit. I said, I forgot to tell you I enjoyed my short visit today, you know. And she texts me back. She said, I enjoyed it. She said, you make me feel so special. And that thing
that is beautiful.
Just all over me. Play, read it again and read it again. You know, it wasn't even nothing but, you know, like I say, coffee.
Amen.
That Dunkin' Donut was magic. I'm telling you, that Dunkin' Donut, she said, only get it when the girls come. If the girls ain't coming, I don't go get it because it ain't around the corner, you know. And so
I just
noticed that everybody in my circle, mother has passed. And I say, God. So when I talk about my mother, they say, enjoy her while you can, enjoy her while you can, enjoy her while I can. Is it peachy all the time? No, there's some days where I'm going to be like, mama said, God on you. Now, you know, that's not right. It did.
Amen. Amen.
She probably said that to her mind. Now, Deborah, you know that wasn't right. I'm going to put God on you. You know, but, you know, just a joke. But like I say, I ease into it. And I just went on with the Lord. I said, Lord, you got to help me because I don't know. You got to help me because I don't know. And I just keep saying every time I go visit, I said, Lord, I don't know what to talk about. When I get ready to call, Lord, I don't know what to talk about. But he said, just call. It'll work itself out. Just call. You ain't got to have nothing to talk about.
Amen.
What am I going to talk about? When we talk about the Lord. Okay, what am I going to talk about? God said, just call. Believe me, the conversation always go because that was something the enemy tried to hold for you. You ain't got nothing to talk about. What you going to call her for? Just text her. She don't want that. She
want to
talk.
Amen. Right, and so what I hear, yeah. Deborah, and so what I hear, sorry to cut across you, what I hear is learning how to be a daughter and mother isn't always easy. To show your appreciation when you are trying to be the daughter that you think she wants, but you are doing your part to be the best daughter that you can be, to show her that you appreciate her, and she is being receptive of that, and she has come to appreciate you as well as the daughter that she desires. And when we are able to accept our mother's faults and shortcomings, and when our mothers are able to accept our shortcomings, we can see how in a whole new, we can see the relationship in a whole new light, guys. It can free us from a lifetime of wondering about it coulda, woulda, shoulda, or being imagining what it could have been when we just learn to accept each other for who we are in this moment, because there's nothing we can do about the past. But if we can just pick up from the moment we come back together, no mother can be everything a daughter thinks she needs, and no daughter can be everything her mother thinks she needs. But if we can accept the limitations of humanity as human beings, we will feel better about our relationship as mother and daughter, because we come to accept the flaws that we all have, and we all have them. We got to always remember, guys, that your mother and your and you as a person, only you know if you'll be the best person that you can be. Even if her best wasn't good enough, you got to continue to be your best to show the love that she can be receptive of. But when you are, and a lot of times, unfortunately, Deborah, we try to do tit for tat. Well, I ain't going to do this because she didn't do this. Don't worry about what she's not doing. Do what you need to do to be the best daughter that you can be. You want to chime in on that, Deborah, before I go on?
Yeah. I just think that some of the key components in being in a relationship with anybody is, you know, having the respect, trust, openness, the passion, and communication, I believe, is like at the top of that list. And so, because if you can't communicate, you can't have relations. You got to be able to talk. And
Amen.
There's a time to speak and listen. You know, not, I hear you, mama. And let me just say this. One time she called me on it. We're sitting down and we're watching the TV, and I'm really still learning. This is maybe 5 years ago, and we're watching the TV. So she's talking, and I'm playing on my phone and watching TV. And she say, "You heard me?" I said, "Yeah, I heard you." And one day she said to me, she says, "You always say you heard me." And from that day on, I put that phone down. I started paying attention. Attentive. I'm listening. Excuse me. I'm not hearing you. I'm listening. And I knew that was important. And so I try to practice those skills with people, not just hearing them, but I'm listening to what you're saying. Because people don't just talk to be making noise. I don't believe. People just talking to hear themselves talking. People talking because they want to be heard. Are you listening, Deborah? Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
So I'm listening, you know? But that's important.
Yeah,
to make sure
that's paramount, because we do get in the habit of being on the phone. Even when people are around us, we are tweaking and chatting and Facebooking, and we're doing everything but being engaged in the conversation. So what I heard you say, Deborah, is that now that you guys are an adult, you guys can learn to let go of the old and be present when you guys are together, and you've learned that motherhood and daughterhood is not easy, and it you want it to look a certain way, but we have to learn to be grateful for what it is, and we have to turn it turns out as well as it did for all the mistakes that we all made, because mom made mistakes, you made mistakes, but nevertheless, when you come back, you have to learn to be grateful. And that's what I hear in your story, Deborah. I hear the gratefulness, the chance you have with mom. You are taking every opportunity to be appreciative of your time with your mom. That's what I hear when you share your story. That's what I hear when you say, "I have learned." That's what I hear when you say, "I learned to put that phone down to be present when I'm with my mother." That is just so freaking amazing, because a lot of times we don't learn and we don't appreciate our mothers until it's too late, until they're gone, or our daughters. And so it is just so wonderful to know that we can create these relationships despite how many years we've been separated. You are a prime example that it can be healed. You and I am a prime example that it can be healed. We don't have to wait to the end of life to try to restore our relationship. And I just thank God that I met Dr. Fletcher when I met Dr. Fletcher, because no one knows where we are on a continuum of life. I took that challenge 2 years prior to my mother passing. I took the challenge because Dr. Fletcher told me I couldn't volunteer in the organization unless I had a relationship with my mother when she lived less than 15 minutes away from me. Thank God that you got out and you returned home. You could have went a total different way from your mother as opposed to moving towards your mother. Y'all got a house together and y'all moved in together in order that you can start to mend that relationship, if you will. It is so important that we remember that people tend to, people are people. Hurting people hurt people. Back then when you were hurting, you were hurting her. And you don't even know, like you said, you left home on your own cognizance. You made the decision to leave home. It wasn't anything that your mother had done to you, but you decide when you came out and you had found the Lord by then, you determined to return to your mother. That is amazing, because out of shame, you could have went the total opposite direction. Out of not knowing how, you could have made a decision to go in a total different direction. But because you had the desire, I think it all starts with the desire to want to be in your mother's life, in your daughter's life, that we will transition to start to turn and go back to them. Because God created the bond, the relationship. And so when we make a decision to go in the opposite direction as to return back home, like you said, the prodigal son, you got to come to yourself. And you had to come to yourself in that prison in order that you would make that decision to return to your mother. You want to share something on that? We have about 9 minutes.
Amen. I just want to share with the audience, you know, to let them know that, you know, that sometimes, you know, we could be expecting imperfect people to be perfect in an imperfect world, and that's just one of our illusions that people are going to be perfect. And God already said that we were born in shape and iniquity. We came out with a whole bunch of noise, making all this fuss and causing all these problems and disturbing the peace and all this crying and carrying on and in this world, and we inherit it. And so that means that we sinners, we already violated the law. So that means it's not perfect. And so you can't expect people to be perfect. You just actually, you know, you just tell them, you know, hey, this is where I'm at, and you know, this is what I want to be, and I want you to be on that process to help me to get to where I need to get, and not I need you to change, and this is where I want you to be. And sometimes I believe that as parents, not me being a parent, but an auntie, and trust me, they challenging at times. You know, this is what we want. But I want my nephew or my nieces to be a certain kind of way. But God is saying, you just be the light, you be the example that you want them to be. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. We got daughters that, you know, starting to fill themselves out, the chest starting to grow, and the bite side going, and the lips all big and juicy, and they cute, and then people's going to start looking. So we got to start setting that stage for, you know, this is what you're going to experience. You know, have these conversations. This is what the world is going to be looking, you know, for. And so when you go in the world, you got to start training them up, and you start giving them that in-house orientation on the world, and it's because that's really where the conflict come in. Because when the daughter want to go out the door and do things out the house, and the mom is like, "You not gonna do you? I don't care what they doing next door." But we gotta set the stage for, hey, well, this is what happened when I was young. We gotta break it down to them like a 2-year-old and just have conversation with them. You know, say it in a way. Amen. You know, be caring and be respectful, even though they're kids. You just don't get to talk loud in any kind of way. Then kids obey your mother, that your days may be long. You want to live long, you better honor and respect. You know, and then God says, tell the father, don't provoke the children. So he got boundaries for everybody. But I believe that go back to the manual and, you know, and pull a couple of those things out of Proverbs and start practicing them, and then we can start having healthy, caring relationships with our kids and with our mothers grown as, you know, as I am. And you're following the manual, because on my own, I just don't know. So I'm just saying, seek the word, you know, and, you know, try to put out what you want to come back, and then just watch your tone and your tag, and just learn to listen. And it's a time to speak, it's a time to listen, and learn to agree to disagree. You know, it takes two, it's give and take, it's not give, give, give. So, you know, just examine your own heart and ask God, if you're short, you're falling, you ain't missing, you ain't get it, you missed them all. Just ask God, hey, teach me how to be a better parent. Teach me how to be, you know, you're good, you could be a good parent, but teach me how to be better. Teach me how to excel, enhance. You know, always put some flavor on it and then add to it, because trust me, the way we're living in this world, and we're going to need all we can get from God to make it and be successful. We're raising kids in a world where people are not valuing lives, and people are out looking and praying and looking for targets to, you know what I mean, the trafficking and all the other stuff going on. And you know, we just got to be more of a light and example because we the grown people. So we got to set the stage
Amen.
For them to come in behind us, you know?
Amen, amen. And daughters, you may not feel that you are enough, but you are enough for your mother. You are enough because God created you to be enough. And you don't have to feel guilty about your past and your mistakes. Mothers, you don't have to feel because you are a daughter. So hurting people hurt people. And you don't have to feel guilty about your mistakes that you made raising your daughter. We can heal these relationships if we both come to the table with that in mind, that we have errored. And because we have errored, that just means that you're human. That's all. And we, you and your daughter can mend your relationship. God tells us that. But if we are not careful, if we are not careful, we will rise up against our mothers because of her shortcomings. If we're not careful, daughters, the mothers, you will rise up against your daughter if you are not mindful of the fact that we are all human beings and we all make mistakes, but we all can forgive each other as scripture tells us to. Love thy neighbor as I love thyself. If you want your mother to forgive you, you have to forgive her. And if you want your daughter to forgive you, you have to forgive her for hurt, because sometimes the hurt is so penetrating, the hurt is so raw that we reject. Even when they keep coming back at us, we reject them because we don't know how. And you said it, Deborah, you said it best. We don't know how to come back. And so oftentimes we do go in the opposite direction. It may not be the physical opposite direction, but in our minds we are going in the opposite direction because we just don't know how to come back and mend the relationship the way it should be. Because we... And you know, Deborah, one of the most beautiful things you said this morning was the emotional peace that has happened between you and your mother. You guys have learned to appreciate each other. That for me, that is the peace where all relationship bonds, when we learn to appreciate each other, even in our faults. Because we all have them. We don't have to hold each other hostage to our past. I love that. Learning how to daughter a mother isn't always easy. It's not easy trying to be a mother. It's not easy trying to be the best daughter that you can be, but it can happen. Deborah is a prime example of that. It can happen. My mother in her last days, she was a quiet woman, and I'm loud and all over the place most of the time. But I learned to just love her little peacefulness. She was a peaceful woman, and she didn't say much. But just holding her hand in those last days and just smiling with her and hearing her smile brought so much joy to me that suggests that my time had been redeemed for my mom. I got to cuddle with my mom. And I learned to appreciate her, even in her sickness, even though she couldn't reciprocate what I desired as being that mother who was in authority. Because in the end, she was very fragile and very frail. But she won my heart just in those couple of moments that I spent with her, those days that I visited her. She won my heart. And so the day that she passed, It was like so devastating for me because I was there when they rolled her out of the house. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like it, mother and daughters. If you don't hear anything else that's been said on this radio today, hear this. When they roll your mother or your daughter, because I have a friend who lost her daughter suddenly, there isn't time to redeem when they're gone. So if you have the opportunity, redeem that relationship now while you still can hear your mother's voice, while you still can hear your daughter's voice. Find forgiveness in your heart for your daughter. Find forgiveness in your heart for your mother because it is so worth it. Deborah is a prime example that it's worth it. I'm a prime example that it's worth it. And nobody knows where they are on a continuum of life. So take that advice, audience. If you don't take any
thing we said on this radio show, call your mother, call your daughter. Find that place of forgiveness. Ask God, like Deborah said, you have to ask God to help you when you don't know how. Help me to receive her back. And we are now at 11 a.m. That brings us to the end of our show. So, ladies, if you take anything from us, take that. Deborah, you got any final words before we say goodbye to the audience?
I just want to let everybody know that God loves them and he wants the best and he's willing to help you be part of that mission of being the best version of mother and daughter. Have a blessed weekend, safe holiday, and be blessed.
Amen.
Ladies,
bye-bye.
I
want to
say something. Can y'all hear me?
Yes. Yes, ma'am, we can hear you.
Oh, man, what an awesome show. Mothers and daughters out there, I know you all was blessed. I listened intensely to every second. That was awesome. I just say thank you, God, for putting us all together. Thank you, God, for allowing us all to be able to share the word. It was awesome, you ladies. I appreciate you. I love you. I was trying to get the end music to go, but it's not going. That's why I'm talking, but I love you guys. You did an excellent job.
Thank you. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye,
oh, audience. It was awesome.
Bye-bye, audience.
Good hands. Good hands.
Bye-bye.
Good
bye-bye.
Hands.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Cynthia.
Bye-bye. Not to be.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Love you, too.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.